Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Are you ready?
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so. It's Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter, at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe. Check out the show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet, and the entire network, at BetMGM Network, over on Twitter. You like our show, you like Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends, at BetMGM Network is where you can find all the wagertainment. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Friday. We got Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Ha, Addy Bates, Nick Costos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on last night's Thursday night football game that saw the Seattle Seahawks beat the Arizona Cardinals as time expired. Kind of a weird football game. Just felt like your classic Thursday night game, but the Seahawks win it at the gun as they improved to 3-1. Cardinals fall to 2-2. Nick will give us his thoughts 60 minutes from right now. But as always, if you miss anything throughout these 4 hours, and we're going to get to a lot today. Obviously, NFL bets, college football bets, our thoughts heading into the Major League Baseball final weekend of the regular season. We're going to get to so much on the show over these 4 hours. And if you miss anything, make sure you check it out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, we're putting it on there in on-demand fashion for everybody to consume. So the least you could do is to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. We have two guests who will be joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern. College football betting analyst for the Action Network, our guy, Colin Wilson, checking in with us here on a Football Friday. Colin does an awesome job on the Big Bets on Campus podcast. He's going to give us his best bets for week 5 in college football, headlined by the two absolute bangers. I mean, this could honestly be like national semifinals by the time we get to January. Oregon at Penn State, Alabama at Georgia. Two awesome, awesome football games, which is a part of just a rock star slate in college football. Colin will give us what he likes for college football coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern time. Then at 5:20 Eastern, former MLB general manager, was the executive of the year in 1999, now an MLB insider for CBS Sports HQ, written work over at The Athletic, and you can hear him on MLB Network Radio. Jim Bowden returns to us here on You Better You Bet. It's been a while since we've spoken with Jim. Cannot wait to get his thoughts on this final weekend of the regular season. So much that is still up for grabs. AL East, AL Central up for grabs. AL and NL wildcard spots up for grabs. We got seeding up for grabs. Who's going to be the one in the American? Who's going to be the one seed in the National League? All that stuff is up for grabs. Now, I think it's going to be Milwaukee in the NL, but like, hey, I mean, they could get swept and the Phillies could go out there and snatch the one seed. It's all on the table, and we'll talk to Jim about it at 5:20 Eastern time to set the stage for the final weekend in Major League Baseball ahead of what should be a banger postseason this October. But we will get into all of that throughout the 4 hours, but we must begin on this Friday with what we saw last night, Thursday night football in the desert, and it's all the favorites, the Seattle Seahawks, who are laying 1.5, actually closed 1 at kickoff, but the Seahawks get the win nonetheless. So shout out to all of you Seahawks backers who were laying the points all throughout the week. Seattle wins it 23-20 at the buzzer over the Arizona Cardinals as they improve once again to 3-1 on the season. And why I say that this was just such a funny game that we saw last night is that I think if you just polled any football fan, talked to anyone who was watching the game, we all would have come to the same conclusion. Seattle dominated this football game. Like, it was pretty clear. The Seahawks were the much better team from start to finish. And speaking of the start, by the way, I mean, how about A.J. Barner? A.J. Barner! 25-1 to see you on the island. That was an absolute banger. I love that. I was going nuts. Like, the play prior, I swear, and you have to go back and watch, Charles Cross, the left tackle of the Seattle Seahawks, he false starts on the play before, and nobody says a word. Like they show the replay, so nobody says a word. I'm like, that dude is moving before the snap. What's going on here? Didn't matter. No penalty. Next play, Sam Darnold to A.J. Barner, left side of the end zone in the corner. Absolutely love it. Like, I bet Cardinals on the money line. Once again, it was a small bet, as we outlined at the end of yesterday's show. Small bet on the Cardinals just to sweat the game. But A.J. Barner, 25-1. At that point, we were playing with the house's money, literally. Like, it was awesome to cash A.J. Barner and finally get on the island after what has been a slow start with the island bets with these games to start the season. So it's why we go long shot hunting. You only got to hit about 3 of them or so in a season, and you're all good. We got our first one with A.J. Barner, the Seahawks tight end, at 25-1 to cash that ticket. So that was awesome. But, like, in watching the game, to get back to what happened on the field and just outside of my bets, like, Seattle was better than Arizona. And our worst fears going into this game were realized. Like, I know Nick had a lot of Arizona stock from the preseason, betting them to win the division. I had bought in on some Arizona Jonathan Gannon to win Coach of the Year when we got the Brock Purdy news. Like, we had all kind of been in on Arizona to some degree. Nick probably more than I, but, like, still, I was invested. I wanted to see the Cardinals win, and I bet the small bet on Arizona. But in watching the game and looking at the box score, it's pretty clear. Like, the Seahawks, 384 yards to 253 for Arizona, 6 yards per play for Seattle, 4 yards per play for the Cardinals. Like, these two teams did not feel like they were in the same weight class. And honestly, outside of this game just getting weird in the fourth quarter, we might have been talking about this game on the other side saying, you know what? Arizona's absolutely cooked. And I actually feel like that they still are. Like, let's not get the fourth quarter ghetto, like, kind of feeling optimistic about the Cardinals. But, like, Arizona, I don't know what they were doing. But I want to start with this fourth quarter, because this fourth quarter was just strange, as was the entire game since it's Thursday Night Football between a couple of division teams. It just felt like, to me, going into that fourth quarter, Seattle up by 11, you know, just like it felt like they were kind of content keeping the Cardinals at arm's length. Just like, hey, like, you guys stay over there. We got it. We don't need to really, like, press the metal here and, like, really crank it up into, like, the fifth gear. We're good. We'll be in cruise control through this game. However, once the Seahawks missed that field goal, Jason Myers with the field goal attempt, and that goes sideways, like, that's when it's like, rut-row, Shaggy. The Cardinals might actually be able to pull this thing off or at least make this an entertaining finish. And I guess you got to give a little bit of credit to Arizona for what they were able to do, putting those two touchdown drives together in the fourth quarter after doing absolutely nothing the rest of the game. Like, I couldn't believe that they actually tied it. Like, I was stunned. I was like, wow, they have a chance? Like, how is this even possible? And at the end of the game, Arizona drives down the field, down by 7. They score the touchdown. Hey, there's 28 seconds left. Oh, my goodness, an extra point away from the tie. I thought that Jonathan Gannon, having been a guy that tends to be a little bit more aggressive, I thought they were going to go for 2. And I thought they should have gone for 2 in the game. Does it guarantee you victory? No, it doesn't guarantee you anything. And as we saw with what ended up happening on the kickoff, like they probably end up losing the game regardless. But at least it puts that extra pressure on Seattle. Because Seattle knew on that whole drive, okay, worst case scenario, we go to OT and we can figure it out there. You go for two and you end up getting it. So all of a sudden now this is 21-20 and you're up. Like the Seahawks, their whole psyche going into that final drive is way different than it is when they're tied up at 20, knowing that they have OT in their back pocket. Like I felt Gannon would have done that since we were under the 30-second mark, because that's typically been the rule. It's like, hey, 30 seconds or less, go for two and try to take the lead. Anything more, just kick it. You don't want the other team to have to be ultra aggressive when there's so much time left and they can get into field goal range and ultimately beat you. And Gannon opted to play the conservative route. Now, you might push back and say, well, Femi, the overtime rules have now changed. Both teams are guaranteed to get the football. OT is not as bad as it used to be back when it was touchdown ends the game, field goal, then you get the ball. Or even way back when it was just the first score that is scored, then all of a sudden the game ends. Like the OT rules are a lot more, fair would be the word that most people use. I think they're just more ridiculous. I like the old-fashioned overtime. Get me back to that one where the first score wins. But it's a little bit different. Changes the equation, the calculus a little bit on your decision-making at the end of regulation. So while I disagree with Gannon, I don't really want to kill him for it. I was just surprised that they didn't end up going for two. Now, what was really crazy with the game is that it ended up being decided off of a penalty on the kickoff. Cardinals kicker Chad Ryland kicked the ball short of what is known as the landing zone, which is inside the 20-yard line, and that is a penalty. It is a procedural penalty, which brings the ball out to the 40-yard line. This landing zone apparently is as sacred as the sidelines, because that's the penalty for you kick the ball out of bounds in the sidelines. Like, that's a 40-yard line. That's where everything goes. And we saw that even in Super Bowl 38 between the Panthers and the Patriots. Panthers tie the game up. John Casey kicks the ball out of bounds, and all of a sudden Tom Brady and the crew, they're on the 40-yard line only needing like 25 yards to get Adam Vinatieri into field goal range, and they end up winning that Super Bowl. But, I understand the league wants more kick returns. They don't want the kickoff to be just like a ceremonial play. They want there to be action. But like, did anyone actually ask for this? That's my thing. Who asked for this rule? And I'm not saying that as somebody who's like sour grapes because I bet Arizona. I'm just saying as a football fan, like the landing zone is going to help determine who wins the game. Like, come on, really? And you could say, oh, well, they know where they're supposed to kick it, Femi. He's got to execute his job. All right. Yeah, great. I get it. Do you also follow every single rule in life? You've never gone over the speed limit before? Like you looking in the mirror saying, oh, the rule is the rule. Yeah, you've never gone 65 and a 60? All right. So settle down, okay? Like the fact that this is a rule just seems so ridiculous. Like landing zone puts the ball on the 40-yard line. And once that happened, you knew Seattle was getting into field goal range. It was just whether Jason Myers was going to make the field goal or not. That was what it was going to come down to. And you got to give them credit. Sam Darnold executing the drive, getting them in the makeable field goal range. And Jason Myers redeems himself after opening the door with his missed kick earlier in the fourth quarter, ends the game with a 52-yard field goal. And yeah, great. Seattle deserved to win the game. But I would have loved to see what would happen had it gone to overtime. I feel like Arizona had some momentum. The crowd was back in it, no longer turning on this team. I would have loved to see what have actually happened. But Sam Darnold gets it done. And last night, Sam Darnold, 18 of 26, 242, QBR of 75.1. It's a really good game. I also want to say this. Let's pump the brakes on the Sam Darnold love, guys. Like, let's just do it. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Because a lot of the conversation coming off of last night's game, and it's kind of been bubbling over the first 3 weeks of the NFL regular season, is that, oh, well, you know, did the Minnesota Vikings make a mistake letting Sam Darnold go? Oh, I think Minnesota would have really loved to have Sam Darnold. Are our memories that short? like, come on. Our memories are that short. Like, on that very field, Sam Darnold nearly pooped his pants in the playoffs. Like, I think Minnesota's going to be all right, guys. And Sam Darnold, while he's off to a good start with this Seahawks team and Clint Kubiak and all this stuff, the scheme, everyone seems to love it, what they're doing. His connection with JSN is really awesome. JSN, by the way, just an absolute stud at wide receiver. The deep ball that he caught was really, really impressive. Like, let's just remember Sam Darnold and the Seahawks, they've beaten the Steelers, who, if you've watched those Steelers games so far, they're not very good, especially on defense. They've beaten the Saints, LOL, and they just beat the Cardinals last night, who we found out is just a mediocre team on their best day. Like, let's just chill out. Darnold executed. He did what he had to do, but I don't think Sam Darnold playing like this is going to vault the Seahawks into being a contender in the NFC. Yeah, miss me with that noise. This team is not that good, and we'll find that out once they start to play tougher competition. The benefit for them, though, is that at least the schedule is a little bit better, but there are harder games on the schedule to where I think the Darnold that we all saw in January against the Lions and against the Rams, that Darnold is still in there, folks, and it's going to come up when you least expect it. That's been his MO his entire career. But the real reason why Seattle won this game, I think for a lot of people, I mean, the Cardinals just, they absolutely stink. Let's just be honest about what this is for Arizona. They're no longer the frisky team. They're no longer the potential upside with Jonathan Gannon. The team sucks. Kyler Murray for a majority of the night was bad. What in the world is happening with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like, his stat line, it might look like it's kind. 6 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown. That dude is a double agent, man. Like, we saw it. We saw it on the route with the first interception. We saw it on the second interception when he's bobbling the ball into a defender's arms. The offense is so uninspiring. Here's a screen pass. Here's Kyler Murray trying to freelance. Here's a check down on third and long. Here's a punt. That was what it was for majority of the night for the Arizona Cardinals. And we all thought Drew Petzig was supposed to be one of those guys. Doesn't look like it. And it looks like Arizona, once again, same old Cardinals that we've seen over this Kyler Murray tenure outside of one single season. We're just getting started here on a Friday. We're hitting you with the top headlines next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
For Seattle, the 12s, that's what they call their fans. They're going to be excited to see a lot of 12 personnel. What is that? That's the two tight ends. And it's a mismatch on paper when you look at it. The tight ends having a lot of success against the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm going to go with a guy for the Seahawks in A.J. Barner at 25-1. Like Jawan Johnson, like Jatavion Sanders. A.J. Barner's going to have some success and will be your first TD scorer tonight.
From the 16, the protection, man, open for it. Touchdown, A.J. Barner, the tight end.
And I'll see you on the island. Oh, my gosh, welcome back. This is You Better You Bet. Well done, our guy Jacobson, cutting that together. The whole crew cutting that together and making that work. Awesome, awesome job. I was stunned. I was not expecting that. Coming out of the break here as A.J. Barner once again gets it done on the island. Absolutely love that one. Bill Zimmerman is a Billy Z special, putting that one together. So shout out to our guy Billy Z, who's going to join us here shortly. But you got to love it, don't you? I mean, all these long shots, and it feels like we've been chalky with these first TD scores. Like, here's David Montgomery. Here's insert RB1 here. And all these guys are like 5-1. I'm not betting 5-1 on somebody to score the first touchdown. I like the long shots. And A.J. Barner, tight end against the Cardinals defense, just cooking like Jawan Johnson, like Jatavion Sanders. Absolutely love it there. So good to look back on that one as A.J. Barner reaches Pater and got us paid at 25-1. 40 minutes from now here on You Better You Bet, Nick Costos will join us with his thoughts on last night's Seahawks win over the Arizona Cardinals. Seattle now 3-1. What does it mean for the Cardinals going forward? What does it mean for the Seahawks going forward? Nick will let us know coming up at 4 o'clock. And also, 20 minutes from now, we're going to check in with what's going on at Bethpage Black. Our guy Tyler Morales, our golf aficionado, will get us up to speed on the Ryder Cup between the United States and Europe. Europe currently up 3-1. Not looking good for our boys in Stars and Stripes, but hey, it's early. We still got Saturday. We still got Sunday. But if this doesn't go well this afternoon, it might start getting late early for the United States. We'll also hear from our baseball aficionado, Jay Kassan, as we head into the final weekend of the MLB regular season. But joining us now, like he does each and every weekday here at 3:20, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, I was caught off guard. I was not expecting the AJ Barner heading into this 3:20 segment, man. Well done. So going ahead and giving me that shout out there. That was very nice.
Yeah, you know, that was really good. You know, when you did that in the moment, I was like, you know what? That's a really good bet. And I did not place it. I should have placed it. I should have tailed you. I did not. That's on me. Because right when you said it, I was like, you know what? That is a really good spot for Barner. Because he's been pretty decent in Seattle. So
yeah, he's a solid player. And they play so much 12 tight end, 12 personnel, which is the two tight end set. Like, he plays, he's on the field more than JSN. Like, that's how insane it is. I'm like, all right, I get it, guys. Like, you like Barner, but like, maybe put JSN on the field some more. But yeah, like, they play so much. And I was like, you know what? Against a defense where they're giving it up to the tight ends, you know, let's take a flyer on a guy that's 25-1. And thank God he caught the ball. Cause like, I see him the target and that ball was in the air for, it felt like 5 minutes. I'm just like, oh my God, that's going to Barner. He brings it in. 25-1, the tweets start flying, and everybody that was on the island with me, it was awesome to cash that ticket. But that's yesterday's news. Let's get to today's news. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know on this Friday afternoon?
Femi, it is big news out of Washington, because we have found out here officially that both Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin will not play this Sunday for the Commanders in Atlanta against the Falcons. Femi, I know Marcus Mariota had a big game last week, but without McLaurin here, without Daniels, this is going to be a tall order for the Commanders to go into Atlanta and beat what we all think is a good Falcons team, even with a struggling Michael Penix.
Yeah, it says so much about Atlanta that they're only like a 2-point favorite in this game. It says a lot. The betting market's just like, we want no parts of this jabroni football team that just lost by 30 to the Carolina Panthers this past Sunday. Now, as somebody who saw this news early this morning for us on the West Coast, early afternoon for you guys on the East Coast, like, I went ahead and jammed in some Atlanta Falcons money line at -105. Like, it was just a bet on, hey, I want to grab this number because it's going to improve in the next like 5 minutes. And that's what happens. You try to get ahead of some injury news. Some sports books are slower to pull it than others. And then you can go ahead and take advantage with Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin being out. But it's not just those two guys. It's also Noah Brown, which you might laugh out loud at home or in your car, listening, watching, whatever you're doing, how you're consuming. We appreciate it. Like, Noah Brown's not a guy that's going to move the needle. I would never mention Noah Brown in terms of moving the needle. But when you're already down Terry McLaurin, it matters. And now it's Marcus Mariota, who has Deebo Samuel as his wide receiver, who, like, let's not be confused. This is not 2019 Deebo Samuel out there, guys. It's 2025 Deebo Samuel. And after that, it's nobody. Like what Zach Ertz in 2025? Once again, it's not 2019, folks. Like, this is a roster that's old, and older rosters get hurt. You got Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. Like, all right, maybe you're a little bit bullish on one of those guys, but on the road with a backup quarterback, I would not be bullish, especially against a team in the Atlanta Falcons, who, if you're ever going to get a focused performance from Atlanta, this would be the week. Like, they will show us the best of them. Whatever that is, we're going to get it. If it's good enough to cover this number, great. If it's not good enough, we know they're terrible. But like, after a 30-point loss, I think you're going to get the very best from the Atlanta Falcons. So the spot says Atlanta. The injury news says Atlanta. I think it's Atlanta coming up on Sunday. Just a bad, bad injury outcome for the Washington Commanders. Good thing for them, they won last week. So it's not like a disastrous situation, because I think Jaden Daniels will probably be back soon. McLaurin, sounds like it's week to week. That could be a little bit iffy with the quad injury. But as long as Daniels comes back next week or maybe the week after that, they should still be fine and be competitive in a very difficult NFC. But for this week, it's the Dirty Birds. I'm rocking with the Falcons. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, quickly from the Ryder Cup, Cam Young just rolled in a birdie putt on 9, so him and Justin Thomas re-up in their match in the Ryder Cup. We'll get into that with Tyler Morales next segment. But a couple of huge games in the NFL this weekend, including one of them, of course, the Cowboys and the Packers in Dallas, Sunday Night Football. It is the Micah Parsons Bowl as he returns to Dallas. But if you ask Jerry Jones, facing Micah Parsons, not really that big of a deal.
Micah is special, and we all know he is, and he can be disruptive. But we have huge amounts of experience with the anecdotes that we've seen used on us for the last 4 years. Right. And while he does make great plays, there is also a way to approach playing against Micah, as we know, because we didn't exactly win the Super Bowl during those years.
So Jerry was on with our Odyssey teammates at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And Femi, you better hope Micah Parsons doesn't have a big day after that comment, because every time Jerry opens his mouth these days, it seems like every Cowboys fan just collectively shakes their head.
I mean, if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm like, what the hell, Jerry? You get to be in the owner's box, chilling in the suite watching the game. I'm the guy that's behind this offensive line that's already injured, and now you just keep pissing off Micah Parsons, keep adding more fuel to the fire. Like, this is one of the ultimate revenge games. They literally dragged him all throughout this offseason, just had these like weird negotiations of, we don't want to talk to your agent, I don't even know your agent's name. All of these things were said by Jerry Jones. And then we got to the very end, and he's like, well, you know what? We want to be able to stop the run, so see you later. You go to Green Bay. Like, and now you add this on top of it. Like, bro, are you trying to get Dak killed on Sunday? Because that's what's going to happen. Like, I cannot believe Jerry Jones is saying stuff like this. Like, it's just, oh, we didn't win Super Bowls with him. You're the one that put the team together, guy. Like, you're out here acting like, oh, I mean, not like we could win with Micah Parsons, so I don't know what the whole big deal is. Like, if you built the team and knew what you were doing, you could have won with Micah Parsons. He was your best player since Emmitt Smith, and you just sent him away, not even in the prime of his career, to a rival. It makes no sense whatsoever. And the number is what the number is in the betting market. Like, I know sharp bettors really like Dallas at 7. I get it. Dallas is going to be healthier. They're actually going to probably have Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland back in the secondary. Feels like those guys never play together. One of them's always hurt. This is one of those rare opportunities where they'll be on the field at the same time. Like, with all of that, I still don't care, because I think Green Bay is going to come in here with a point to prove. Green Bay coming off an embarrassing loss, and Dallas was embarrassed last Sunday as well. Both teams have a point to prove, but I think this is just going to continue to rally the Packers around Micah Parsons. I'm staying away from the game. I don't really love laying 6.5 in a primetime game, which is probably going to be the Cowboys Super Bowl based on the way Jerry Jones has been kind of talking that cash noise all week long. But like, I'm not taking the points either. I'm passing the game. I'll watch the game begrudgingly as a fan of the Cowboys and root for them to win, but I don't think it's going to end up very well. Once again, I think this is going to be the nightmare scenario for Jerry Jones and that organization as they get laughed at in primetime in front of the entire country. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Well, Femi, the Baltimore Ravens defense has been surprisingly soft so far this season. Only the Miami Dolphins have given up more points. The Ravens are giving up 32 points per game, and defensive coordinator Zach Orr is starting to get some heat. But safety Kyle Hamilton says, not so fast, my friends.
Sometimes Ravens fans can be a little spoiled, just like the amount of success that this franchise has had. You know, we lose 5 games and the world's about to end. I think on Zach, it's unfair to put all the blame on him when there's 11 guys out there on the field that are playing their hearts off, and he's put us in the right positions. It's just a matter of us doing the right stuff, and that's where I feel like the critiques of Zach or whatever coaches are unfair, because he can't go out there and play for us. And as much as he wants to, he can't. So it's up to us to go out and get the job done.
There you go. A little defense from Kyle Hamilton, Femi, but whether it's Orr's calls or the player's execution, they need to figure this out in a hurry as they head to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs this Sunday. And we have learned that Xavier Worthy officially back for the Chiefs.
I mean, if the Ravens defended that well on the field, we wouldn't be having these conversations, right? You know, like you want to go out there and be like, oh, yeah, it's not Zach's fault and this and that. I don't know whose fault it is. It's someone's fault. The players want to blame themselves. We're all blaming Zach Orr, because you look at the roster and it's like, these players are all good. So it's something's not happening with the coaching staff, the scheme. Maybe nobody's understanding what they're being asked. I don't know what's going on, but clearly there's a fundamental problem. But I'll say this, though, before we even get into the defensive side of it. Kyle Hamilton to be like, oh, well, Ravens fans are all spoiled. Bro, you guys enter the year as like the Super Bowl favorites damn near every season. You haven't won it. Not this version of the team. This isn't Joe Flacco and Ray Lewis. Like, this isn't Ray Lewis and Rod Woodson and all those guys from the 2000 team and Trent Dilfer and that crew and Tony Siragusa, God rest his soul. Like, this is a different version of the Baltimore Ravens, a version of the Ravens that have been known for being perennial chokers. So, yes, I'm sorry. I'll apologize on behalf of the Ravens fan base. Like, you should have expectations. You deserve to have expectations because the team on paper is that good. This all like, oh, I don't know why we lose five games and the sky is falling. Bro, just win a damn playoff game. Well, how about start there, right? Like, go to Buffalo and win. Go to Kansas City and win. Hell, win at home. Like, do something. Like this, I just can't stand that tone. Now, what's actually happening on the field? Well, they're not stopping the run very well. Secondary's not playing that well. And we all talked about this secondary being, oh my God, how are you going to throw on the Ravens? They just got Jair Alexander. They got Kyle Hamilton. They drafted Malachi Starks. They got Marlon Humphrey. You're not going to be able to throw. Everyone's throwing on the Ravens. Josh Allen threw on the Ravens. Jared Goff threw on the Ravens. And this week, I think Mahomes is going to throw on the Ravens. With Xavier Worthy back, it's not going to look as pretty as it did for Buffalo and for Detroit, but with Worthy back, I actually think that the Chiefs are going to have some success on offense, and if that's the case, it's going to put pressure on Lamar and that Ravens offense to match, and we all know how that's going to go. In this big game, if I had to bet it, and I think we might actually get to three. There's a three even money out there in the market, and a lot of the two and a halves are heavily juiced. At three, I will be betting the Kansas City Chiefs because I hate this tone from Kyle Hamilton and the Ravens defense. Do something before you start criticizing the fan base for having expectations on a team that should be the best in the NFL. Bill, hit me with the next
one. No, Femi, quickly here. The Buffalo Bills will have another week without defensive tackle Ed Oliver or linebacker Matt Milano, but lucky for them, they have a home game against the winless Saints where the Bills sit at a 15.5 point favorite. There we go. I just got to learn how to talk. Femi, obviously rough to have another week without those guys, but as we all know, it really shouldn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Buffalo Bills are kind of using this as like, you know what? We're playing bad teams. So you know what, Ed? You know what, Matt? Go get right. And once we get to the meat of the schedule, then you'll come back. That's how Buffalo's feeling about this one. And speaking about getting defensive, I mean, the Bills defense, is it going to be good on Sunday? Probably not. I think if the New Orleans Saints are able to protect the football, they might actually have some success. Spencer Rattler hasn't been terrible this year. Like, he's actually been pretty competent. I would expect this game, if I were to bet it, to bet the over, because I do think the Bills' offense is going to torch that Saints' defense. But, hey, like, if this is a little bit competitive at some points, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But I do think Buffalo will come close to covering this number. Like, if I had to bet the game on the side, it would be actually with New Orleans. But I think I can see Bills by, like, a couple of touchdowns, which if that's the case, Saints actually get home and they cover as a 15.5 point dog. Bill, hit me with the last one before we had to break.
All right, Femi, the Dodgers blank the Diamondbacks 8-0. And with that victory, they clinched the NL West. Dodgers locked into the 3 seed in the NL playoffs. So they will play in the wild card round against either the Mets, Reds, or possibly the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, imagine being one of those teams, right? Fighting for that final NL wild card spot. Here's the defending World Series champions. The more I think about this and closer we get 3 days away from the playoffs, it just might be the Dodgers again, guys. Like, I'm going to get in the lab this weekend. I want to come up with a different answer, but don't be shocked. Come Monday when we do our predictions, then I'm saying Dodgers repeat as your World Series champions. On the other side, we'll talk all the popular betting sides this week, Ryder Cup and baseball to wrap up the hour here on YBYB.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Friday on the BetMGM Network, presented by BetMGM. This is You Better You Bet. I am Femi Epepefe, hanging with you guys this afternoon. Hopefully everyone had a good work week. The work week winding down, TGIF, heading into a weekend. A banger sports weekend. We were talking during the break, got the Ryder Cup going on right now. Currently, Europe up 3-1. Looks like we're headed towards a split here in this afternoon wave of the four ball action on day one. Obviously, you need the United States to go ahead and pick up some ground here. But for those of us who bet Europe, you know what? Maybe we are rooting for the Europeans. In fact, we are. That's exactly what we want, is for Europe to win this Ryder Cup. Say it makes me un-American, I don't care. It's going to make me rich at the end of the weekend. So keep your flag and keep it away from me. But that's going on right now over at Bethpage Black. Got the Ryder Cup between the United States and Europe. Obviously, Major League Baseball, hell of a weekend on deck. Final weekend of the regular season. College football, banger slate. NFL, Ravens, Chiefs. Parsons going down to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. A fun weekend in the world of sports. And we cannot wait to get into it. We'll talk some Ryder Cup and baseball later on in this segment with Tyler and Jake, but I wanted to outline some of the popular betting sides over at BetMGM for this week in the NFL. I just find this stuff interesting. Like, what's everyone on? What are people betting? Not that I like want to tail or fade or whatever, but like these are the things that kind of drive where the market might go, which if you have a compass and you always knew where the market was going to go, like you'd be rich, you know? So like we try to go ahead and pick up nuggets here and there and try to see, all right, is this going to impact what might happen over the weekend heading into Sunday's game? Now, the most popular betting side for week four in the NFL over at BetMGM, and this is with the ticket count, so all the bets. Most popular side as it stands on this Friday is the Chargers laying 6.5 against the New York Giants. Now, right now, I don't have a leg to stand on in this game because I'm not betting this game. I think the number is just right. I think the Chargers should be close to a touchdown favorite. That's what they are on the road. Now, usually this would be a spot to back Big Blue because like the old school Chargers, like your Anthony Lynn, Brandon Staley Chargers, they would find a way to lose this game. Like this would be the spot where it's like, oh, Chargers, everyone's on them. And now they've got to go East Coast early kick. That's an L. But with Jim Harbaugh, it's a little bit different. Harbaugh knows what he's doing. Harbaugh's a great coach, and I would expect the Chargers to be somewhat focused on Sunday, even though they're playing an inferior opponent. Now, what also makes this game really interesting, of course, is the headliner. The New York Giants rookie quarterback Jackson Dart is making his NFL starting debut. Now, games involving rookies, especially rookies that are making their first starts, those can be incredibly volatile because we all have our opinions of Jackson Dart, good, bad, or indifferent. We all saw the preseason Jackson Dart playing in August. But you don't really know until you actually get to the regular season. And one thing that's working against the Chargers in this game is that there's no regular season tape out there on Jackson Dart. You know, other than handing it off to Camp Scatabu, like there's no real tape out there. Like what does he really want to do? What are they looking to accomplish? How are they going to scheme up this offense with Dart at quarterback as opposed to Russell Wilson at quarterback? It makes for the unknown, and it makes for volatile outcomes on the table, high variance outcomes, which honestly, if the Giants won the game, would I be surprised? No, we see this stuff happen all the time in the NFL. If the Giants lost by 40, would I be surprised? No, they're a bad football team. So it's just one of those games that's so tricky to handicap. It doesn't surprise me that so many people are invested in this game. It's just with the amount of conviction in which they're invested is really what gets me kind of surprised. I'm like, we all have our opinions, but like, are you really going to be like gung-ho with this opinion in this particular game? Me, not so much. The rest of y'all, apparently so. I can't wait to see how it unfolds. If I had to bet the game, I would actually play into the big outcome and say like Giants plus 6.5 and maybe Giants money line. If I had to bet it, there would be small bets if I had to bet it, but I don't have to bet it. So I'm going to pass the game because I don't want to live through Sunday afternoon needing the Giants to be competitive in a football game against a really good head coach and a really good quarterback. Doesn't seem like a fun way to spend my Sunday afternoon. So I will pass that game. The second most popular game over at BetMGM, the most popular side, I should say, is the Green Bay Packers laying 7. And isn't that fitting? Like, hey, everyone's betting the Packers. Now the number is 6.5. Now, over at BetMGM, it's still 7. If you like Dallas, go ahead and make it legendary with America's team and back the Cowboys. But it's just, this feels right. You know, it's another one of those games where it feels right to me. Green Bay, as I said in the last segment, should be favored by a lot. They are. Green Bay has a lot of motivation in this game. And the Cowboys have motivation, too. I am very, very down on Dallas. I think a lot of that is my fandom, just my disappointment with this team over the last, two decades, essentially. But they're also professionals, and they have pride. And I don't think they don't want to go out there and go get punked by Micah Parsons in their own building in front of the entire country. So, you're going to get Dallas's focused effort. I just don't think it's good enough. They're just not as talented a team as the Green Bay Packers. If I had to bet this game, I would be on the side of Green Bay. I just don't really think that you're a longtime winner laying this many points in these kinds of spots in the National Football League. It just feels a little bit to me like, hey, yeah, the Packers could definitely blow them out. And maybe looking back Sunday night or Monday morning, it's like, huh, that felt like a missed opportunity. Should have just bet Green Bay. I don't think I'm going to miss out. I'm just going to go ahead and just pass the game. No FOMO is going to take over me here. I understand why everyone likes Green Bay. Dallas looked really bad. Green Bay coming off a loss. Typical bounce back spot. Feels like that's right. But Dallas is a little bit healthier on the defensive end of the ball. That secondary is a little bit healthier. This to me feels like Dallas competitive for 2.5 quarters. And maybe Green Bay pulls away late. But that's not a strong conviction to make me want to lay down some money on Green Bay. The third most popular side, it's actually the Washington Commanders. Now, I'm assuming this was before we got the news of Jaden Daniels. In fact, I know for a fact. There's no way in hell everyone's saying, I want Washington with Mariota and no McLaurin and no Noah Brown. I do have a bet in this game. It's on the Atlanta Falcons. Whether this was the most popular side or the least most popular, I just think that it's a good spot to bet the Falcons. Atlanta coming off a horrendous loss. This is going to be a focused Falcons performance. Say that 5 times fast. And I think Atlanta will be buttoned up in this game against a depleted Washington Commanders team that has limited weapons and has a quarterback in Marcus Mariota who, oh, by the way, we're talking about Micah Parsons going back to Dallas. This is a little bit of a Mariota revenge spot and a big revenge spot for Dan Quinn, who the Atlanta Falcons fired many years ago after he took them to the Super Bowl back in 2016. So a rare head coach quarterback revenge spot with Quinn and Mariota going down to Atlanta, but I don't think they get their revenge. It's up with the Falcons. Dirty Birds get it done. Bet Falcons on the money line. I like that quite a bit. The fourth most popular side at BetMGM, according to the ticket count, it's the Minnesota Vikings laying 2.5 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a game that I'm actually dying to bet. I just don't have the number yet. At 3, I'm betting Pittsburgh. And it's gross coming out of my mouth because I think this team is actually really, really bad. But it's just, they're going to find a way, man. they just do. I bet against them last week against New England, and New England turns it over 5 times. Those things happen for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that going to happen in Minnesota? I don't think so. But Minnesota also has Carson Wentz starting at quarterback. When has he ever turned the ball over? Just every other time that you start a football game. I think that this is going to be one of those games where we come out of it and being like, yeah, I still think Pittsburgh's bad, but they're 3-1. I think that might actually end up being the message. This feels like it should be a pick 'em. The fact that it's 2.5, I'm not sure I'm there. And if we ever get 3, I will be there with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then finally, the fifth most popular side is the Baltimore Ravens laying the 2.5. And as I said in the last segment, if we get to 3, I will be betting Kansas City. Done. I will be betting Kansas City at +3. I think we might get there. Keep this one on eye. All throughout the week, later on today, Saturday, Sunday morning, if the 3 start to pop, let's go ahead and pop Kansas City. I want to fade Baltimore desperately after what we've seen over the first few weeks. All right, let's go ahead and bring the crew in here. Our golf aficionado, Tyler Morales, and our baseball aficionado, Jake Hassan. Tyler, we will start with you. Beth Page Black, home of the Ryder Cup. United States trailing Europe 3-1. I know you are Team Europe. The show is Team Europe. What have you seen so far throughout the action today? And what should we expect to see later on this weekend?
It's kind of been going how at least we thought it would be on the show. Team USA looks awful. John Rahm is punking Scottie Scheffler any chance he gets. Right now, there's two matches are up for Europe right now. Cam Young and Justin Thomas are beating Ludwig Åberg and Rasmus Højgaard, and Fleetwood is and Rose are tied with Ben Griffin and Bryson DeChambeau. And I don't honestly, Griffin and DeChambeau look awful, so I don't think they're even going to win that one. So I think Europe might go up 3-1 in the afternoon session and be up 6-2 here and just kind of just run this USA team off the course. They look terrible, USA. Scheffler can't make a single. If Scheffler's not playing well, this team has no chance. And John Rahm's looks better than him so far through the Ryder Cup. So, I mean, I don't want to say it's like it could be like an easy runaway for Europe, but I mean, the way this is setting up right now, it looks like Europe could be taking like a big command of this by the end of the day.
In Europe right now, over at BetMGM, -172, USA +155. The draw is at 12-1. Would you lay that 172 with Europe?
No, I don't. Honestly, like if you didn't bet Europe, you just missed it. I don't think there's a bet to make right now. You should have bet him at +170. Everyone on the show said that. So yeah, I think you just missed it. That's what I think. I would never lay a -170 with them.
Sometimes you just miss the boat. And hey, there's not like there's other stuff that you can bet on this weekend. You know, baseball, college football, NFL. There's a lot to get your beak wet with. It doesn't have to be the Ryder Cup. So it doesn't look great for the United States right now, who once again trails 3-1, and they're trailing in a couple of the four-ball matchups that we have in this afternoon session. Let's bring in our baseball aficionado, Jake Hassan. Jake, last night, the Dodgers, unfortunately, they beat your Diamondbacks, clinched the NL West. What stood out to you overnight in Major League Baseball, and what do you expect to see heading into this weekend?
Do the Reds have the juice? It's home run robbery to save the game and win the game? I don't know.
That was nuts.
The Reds might have. Noelvi Marte's been an outfielder for like 7 days and is just robbing home runs to keep the game alive and win the game for the Reds. They might have that Tito Francona magic. I don't know. They get the Brewers today. I bet them at a huge price, +145, going against Quinn Priester. The Brewers don't care anymore. They got this thing locked up. The Reds might have the juice, but Femi, you're also right. It's just going to be the Dodgers, and we're all really dumb.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, also, too, with the Brewers, I mean, they could lose the one seed. You know, if they were to get swept or something like that, like, Philly's right there. They could snatch the one. So they don't have, like, a ton to play for, but they got something if they want to get home field advantage throughout the NL playoffs. But we'll see what happens later on this week, and we'll talk some more baseball at 5:40 with Nick, and we'll talk baseball at 5:20 with Jim Bowden. That's going to be a really, really fun conversation. But on the other side, we're back to TNF. Nick's thoughts on the Seahawks' 23-20 victory last night over the Arizona Cardinals.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.